Alleluia, alleluia. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. C.S. Lewis is known for his many books and writings, and one book that has been on my mind for some time is known as Mere Christianity. Between 1942 and 1944, Lewis was invited by the BBC to give a series of wartime radio broadcasts about the Christian faith. These were eventually gathered together into the book known today as Mere Christianity. Lewis tells his audience with characteristic modesty that he is giving these talks as a layperson, a former atheist, a seeming beginner to the Christian faith. From this beginner's perspective, he wonders whether people have ever really been taught, in basic terms, what Christianity is all about. He encourages us to look again at Christianity with fresh eyes, to open ourselves to the reality of the human predicament which Jesus Christ enters into and transforms and redeems, and to allow Christ to transform our lives in such a way that evil diminishes and good prevails, a theme echoed in his other works, especially in the Narnia series. In thinking about Mere Christianity, I am inspired by the way Lewis was able to speak such deep and powerful truths about faith during a time of national crisis. And I wonder what truths about faith we may be discovering as we now come to terms with what some are calling the greatest crisis since the Second World War. I think all of us, however advanced in our faith journeys, need to return to the core foundations of our faith from time to time, to wonder what it is that first drew us to Christianity, to use this time of deep questioning and challenge to open ourselves up to some basic spiritual truths about our deepest needs and longings, our core humanity, our desire for this transformation of which Lewis speaks, and which Christianity promises, where good prevails over evil. Christianity is unique for its emphasis on God sharing in our human life in Jesus Christ, transforming human nature from within, and providing a means for our deepest human longings to be satisfied. The Gospel of John explores this through a series of sayings ascribed to Jesus, known as the I Am sayings. I am the bread of life speaks to our human need for food and sustenance. I am the light of the world speaks to our human need for understanding and enlightenment. I am the gate, from today's passage, speaks to our human need for belonging and acceptance. I am the good shepherd, which is part of today's wider passage, speaks to our human need for guidance and provision. Christianity offers a way for our deepest human longings to be satisfied, and a pathway to the kind of transformation Lewis speaks of in his vision of mere Christianity. This image of Jesus as the gate is worth exploring further. On the one hand, a gate is a boundary marker, a way of keeping some people in and others out. Although there are some who might interpret the image this way, and indeed some church communities have, we need to bear in mind where this gate leads and why it should always be left wide open. Jesus tells us, "I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." Jesus is the gate to abundant life, and he laid down his life to enable everyone, the whole of humanity and all of creation, to have life in abundance. One feature of the abundant life described in this passage is that it is lived together in community. Abundant life is about sustaining relationships, seeking the common good, being part of a life-giving community, gathered in safety under the protection of a shepherd whose voice we know and can trust fully. And so, we might ask ourselves today, what habits and practices can I cultivate to enable me to hear the voice of this shepherd and to know the one who is the gate to abundant, eternal life? Put another way, what are the habits and practices of mere Christianity? A helpful summary statement from the first known Christian community comes in our reading from Acts. First, connecting with the apostles' teaching. Today, we would probably call this Bible study. Hearing God speak to us through sacred writings and those who interpret them. Perhaps some of us are using our experience of lockdown to connect with Bible passages that speak of similar experiences, of exile, or suffering, or sacrifice, or grief. I am reminded of our human need for knowledge and understanding. I am the light of the world. Second, there is fellowship. If this English word sounds stuffy or gendered, which I suppose it is, the Greek word koinonia has a much broader sense, meaning participation, communion, sharing together. On the one hand, we know from the book of Acts that this involved meeting physically together in the temple, a place of worship. And for all the ways in which technology enables us to worship together in isolation, we long for the time when meeting together in the same physical place is possible. At the same time, I have been amazed by the bonds of fellowship that have formed during this time of lockdown, between neighbours and streets, between people of all faiths and none. There is a new openness to working together across divides as we recognise our shared human needs and longings. The fabric of our common life has changed for the better. I am the gate to abundant, life-giving community. Third, there is breaking of bread. This is both our sharing together in Holy Communion and also the reminder that all meals, especially in a time where accessing food can be risky, difficult, or impossible for some, should be eaten with gratitude and awareness of the needs of others. I am the bread of life. Fourth, there is prayer. This might be in the form of set prayers or the pattern of daily prayer that has sustained Christians down the ages. Or it might be a practice like meditation or contemplative prayer. I heard this week that demand for meditation apps and courses has soared during the lockdown. We forget sometimes that meditation is one of the most basic forms of Christian prayer, a habit or practice of mere Christianity, when we still our own thoughts long enough to tune into the voice of the Good Shepherd who guides us and comforts us and restores our souls. When I think about the original vision of mere Christianity and the circumstances that brought this book into being, I can't help but think about the simple habits and practices that C.S. Lewis himself adopted to sustain his Christian faith. He steeped himself in the apostles' teaching and himself was an incredibly gifted teacher and communicator. He formed his own fellowship groups of various kinds, including a debating society between Christians and atheists. He attended Holy Trinity Church week by week, early on a Sunday morning, to receive Holy Communion. And he not only prayed, he wrote widely about his lived experience of prayer, including its many challenges. I see mere Christianity as a transformative vision of human life, where our deepest human longings and needs are fulfilled by a God who fully shares in our human predicament. Through simple habits and practices, Christ transforms us to become more than what we are now. For the first known Christian community, this involved deep sacrificial giving for communal needs. Many are giving sacrificially at this time of crisis, frontline medical workers and other key workers, and all making sacrificial changes to their way of life. The original vision of mere Christianity was formed during a time of national and global crisis. May this vision take on new meaning during our current time of crisis, and may many more be moved to adopt these simple habits and practices which allow Christ to transform our lives in such a way that evil diminishes and good prevails. Amen.